big political weekend over the last few days. Ian Duncan Smith resigned from the cabinet. He's thrown David Cameron's government into turmoil. It was a political earthquake, this. And one of the arguments coming out of the political fallout in all of this is whether pensioners should be protected. Because the debate was going over the weekend that, look, if David Cameron's government is starting to target those who are not well off, if David Cameron's government is saying we really need to reduce the deficit and therefore these cuts on people with disabilities are important, then can they really at the same time protect wealthy pensioners? Here's what Ian Duncan Smith said to Andrew Marr on the BBC yesterday morning.
Do you think a fairer overall government would have taken some of the benefits away from richer pensioners, might not have done the triple lock in order to avoid these kind of cuts?
Andrew, my concern, as I accept the letter, as I said, absolutely, it's all about how we are perceived and how that balance is right.
It's my not just perceived.
No, no, I say it's important how people perceive that balance to be, and then in application, how that balance of change is made. And my deep concern has been that this very limited, narrow attack on what is working age benefits means that we simply don't get that balance. We lose the balance of the generations. You know, we have a triple lock on pensions, which I was proud to do, you know, 6 years ago.
Right.
But, you know, with inflation running at zero, we really need to look at things like this and ask, do we just keep saying it's working age that bear the brunt?
The former Labour Social Security Minister, Frank Feel, didn't hold back on Five Live last night.
I think we should take them on at the next election. I do not believe now a pledge has been made we should rat on it. It's clearly unsatisfactory, and any party that goes into the next election with a similar pledge is clearly ought to be put away quietly as being literally off their rockers.
Really?
It's not a sustainable policy when you think about, well, if you take between those the welfare budget, we've not only got the largest group in the welfare budget on an escalator with not just all these fringe benefits, which are minor compared with the total budget. The key things are the weekly pension payments. And we are actually increasing those in real term. At the same time, on another escalator, we've got a smaller group of people whose escalator is actually going down instead of up.
So are you saying tonight that any party that continues to protect pensioners in that way, wealthy pensioners in that way, are off the rockers? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying for any party to go into the next election with that policy, they need their heads examined for the very reasons we're experiencing now, 1 year into this parliament, and it's beginning to tear this government apart. Now, if other parties want to go down that route and find that they're going to be torn apart after a year, so be it.
Well, you can hear already how this debate is starting to open up and questions being asked about pensioners. Anne Watson from the Northern Ireland Pensioners Parliament. Morning to you, Anne.
Morning.
What would you say in reply to that?
Well, what I would say in reply is I don't know the ins and outs the way Ian Duncan Smith does, and obviously he has a more of a realm than I do. At the Pensioners Parliament, the manifesto had 4 points: the bus pass, the TV licence, the Christmas bonus and the prescription charge. Take any one of those away and there's going to be older people really, really hurt over the head of it.
Yeah, but this is about means testing older people, Anne.
Yeah.
So
well,
that those who can afford to lose their benefits lose it.
How much is that going to cost? It's going to cost as much nearly as they're giving out to try and means test.
Well, not necessarily, because you could encourage older people, even if you didn't go the full hog and means test wealthy pensioners, you could encourage those pensioners who don't need the benefits not to take them.
I think that's brilliant. I think it would be an even better idea if they give it to charities, because at the present moment in time, charities can't get money. We have a senior citizens group in Newton Abbey, and we have, if you've seen the paperwork we have to do to get a small amount of money, and if a few pensioners who didn't need their money, didn't need their bonus at Christmas, didn't need whatever else they have that they don't need, if they want to donate it to charity, that would be helping the less well-off pensioners.
Well, I spoke to two Conservatives last night who said maybe it's time to look at this again. Maybe we can't continue to protect pensions, have a triple lock around pensioners, while it's people of working age that get targeted. We're not all in this together if pensioners are constantly protected on.
Do you know what the basic pension is? Could you live on it? I don't think so. And if you want to get benefits, you have dozens. Now, I don't mean a couple, I mean dozens of sheets of paper to fill in, telling what you have for your breakfast, what you have for your dinner, and why you can't afford to do this and why you can't afford to do that. It's not like as if they're giving you anything for nothing. And nobody could live on the basic pension. If you haven't got a second pension from wherever you worked, which just keeps you stable, then the next thing is you have to apply for benefits. And to get benefits, it's a nightmare.
Ian Parsley, you used to work for Ian Duncan Smith's think tank, the Centre for Social Justice. Why not protect pensioners?
Well, actually, for the reasons you've said at the beginning, so it's not to say you shouldn't protect pensioners. Of course you should protect pensioners. You should protect anybody on fixed income. But also you have to target those who are poorer, who are less well off. And as you said there at the very start, for example, my own mother received £100 winter fuel allowance this winter, which isn't enough to heat her home, but she doesn't actually need it because she has the teacher's pension, which has just been referred to there. There are other people who receive £100 and it's nothing like enough. So the question that's really being posed is why are we allocating any form of benefit out there in a general fashion when it's not targeted? Another thing that has to be raised is that...
Well, because as Anne said, it could be more expensive to start means testing people.
Working age benefits are managed generally in that sense, in that you target those who actually need them and you don't allocate them generally. There's no reason you shouldn't do that across the age range. And the other thing that Frank Field said there at the start of the programme is that in the longer term, it isn't sustainable to maintain the level increase that we currently have. The triple lock means that pensions are going up considerably faster than inflation and actually faster than pay. And the outcome of that is that the average pensioner, and I absolutely hear what Anne says about the poorest pensioners, but that's my point. You have to target the poorest and help them. But the average pensioner income in 2013 to 14 was £394. The average weekly worker's income after housing costs and dependents was £385. And that gap is increasing. I think it's a very good thing that the pensioner incomes have drawn level with the weekly workers' incomes. But we cannot go on with a situation 20 years down the line where increasing numbers of people will be of pensionable age, increasing numbers of those will not actually own their own homes in future, and we maintain triple locks. You know, down the track at some stage, we're going to have to tackle this.
OK, 0303 80 55 55. Ian Parsley, thank you. Anne Watson, stay with us. Some of our callers want to speak to you this morning. Right, so we're saying this morning, look, if the deficit needs cut, can we continue to protect wealthy pensioners? Jim in Belfast, what do you think?
Good morning, Sam. It all depends what you would classify as a wealthy pensioner. There's no figure for that. Now, if I could just say a few other things too. Up to now, If you were a male, you had to work 49 years and have 49 stamps to get your pension. A female had to have 44 years and 44 stamps to get her full pension. As in from this April, the government has now decided to reduce that to 30 years. You must have worked for 30 years. So I'll give you an example, which you might think is pie in the sky. If you're 16 and you work for 30 years, that's 46. So you could actually leave work at 46, go on the employment register, not work, and whenever you become pension age, get a full pension. Now, what happens to all the money that people have paid in for their pension and haven't lived to receive it?
I guess, Jim, the only question I'm posing this morning is for those people who are working, they're of working age.
Yeah.
And they're seeing some of their benefits being cut. Because let's remind ourselves that some people on benefits are working, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for those people who are disabled, who are seeing some of their benefits being cut, are they not entitled to look at pensioners and say, why are they being protected? Well, why are they a special case? Why have they got this so-called triple lock around them?
Well, let me just say this, Stephen. If the pensioners hadn't have been there after the war and worked hard to bring the country up to what it is, there would have probably been no jobs for them anyway. But I get tired of people knocking the pensioners all the time. And just one other factor. National insurance stamps, the clue is in the word insurance. If you pay into an insurance policy all your life, you're entitled to get your money. If you work it out that it's a retirement pension you're paying into, it'll pay you until the day you die.
And it's supposed to cover TV licences and free bus passes. That's insurance contributions.
So I don't.
Well, pensioners over 75 do.
Yeah, but I'm not over 75.
John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. There's two types of pensioners. There's pensioners who live in poverty, who are entitled to their state pension. And there's pensioners who do not live in poverty and manage to go away on holidays every winter for 3 or 4 months and still receive their winter fuel allowance, their Christmas bonuses, etc. Those pensioners do not need it. Their Majesty the Queen is the pensioner and she gets the winter fuel allowance. She can't refuse it. She gets it. It's automatic. And that's the problem.
Anne Watson?
Yeah, well, I'm quite sure that the Queen, being the lady that she is, passes it on to somebody else.
It's not the point of passing it on to someone else.
That is one person who would do that.
It's not
but having
point.
Said that, the caller that came on before the news said about there was a pension of 300 and something. I wish I knew how I could get on that one. And I can tell you, all the people that I know will be saying the same thing. But I think when you talk about paying your national insurance stamp, which is what we used to call it, I done it for my 45 years. And I think I'm not ashamed to be taking my pension. I think I'm entitled to it because I worked all my days. I paid my national insurance stamp. I paid my taxes. And I never tried to do anybody any harm. And now I'm only getting a wee bit back of what I have already paid in. Not only me, but thousands of pensioners across the country are doing the same thing.
Terry in Bangor. Hello, Terry.
Hello, Stephen. I would reiterate what the lady has just said there. I have paid my national insurance and my tax over my working life, so I haven't really paid for these benefits. So what you're really suggesting is that pensioners pay twice. Why should... That's really like robbing pensioners of money. So why should you be a spokesperson for this rotten government?
I am not a spokesperson
that's the way you're coming over.
Well, I'm trying to put the other side of it.
There is no case to answer. We've already... Pensioners, through their working life, have already paid for these benefits. They're entitled to them legally. And what you and the BBC are trying to do is put up a case that we should pay for the mistakes of the present government.
I guess I'm asking the question, Terry, that, look, if there have to be cuts somewhere, and if this government is saying we're all in this together, should pensioners be in it too?
But why single out pensioners who've already paid? Why ask another sector of the country whether they would like to pay twice or not? And then if that's not the way to do it, if money is needed,
but you never thought
for
you were paying
well off, you can put out a call to everybody to put into a fund.
But you didn't think, Terry, you were paying into a pot to get free bus passes and a free TV licence?
No, that is entitled. Pensioners who have worked all their life have already paid for those benefits, so they are entitled legally to them.
Could I just come in, please?
It's a matter of legality.
Could I just come in on that? The bus pass, that's the one thing you mentioned there, the bus pass. People use the bus pass to go into town to meet their friends. They will go in and buy lunch or coffee. They invariably buy something in the shops, which is good for the economy. The people who are getting their TV license are the older people. They use their TV as their outside line to the world. And if you take that away and you take the bus pass away, they think they're having problems now with the health situation. If people are sitting in their homes not able to get out on the buses because they're too expensive, can't afford to heat, eat and pay a TV licence, They ain't seen nothing yet with the health bills.
Okay.
And because there'll be depression city all round.
Okay. And we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed. 03030 8055 55.